from CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're closing in on the California primary, and there are millions of voters who have yet to turn in their ballot. According to the latest numbers from Political Data, Inc., roughly 10% of voters have returned their ballot so far, taking part in early voting. If you fall into the majority, though, you're still weighing your options. We've been spending the better part of this month going through key races. Today, we're focusing on two congressional districts redrawn via voter-approved Prop 50 redistricting. Many voters may be surprised to see unfamiliar candidates on the ballot. District 3 spans Sacramento to Tahoe, a footprint that includes areas like Rancho Cordova, Folsom, through parts of Placer, El Dorado, and Nevada counties. District 6 is a smaller footprint stretching along I-80, including parts of Sacramento, Yolo, and Placer County neighborhoods. Politically speaking, both are a motley crew of urban, suburban, and rural voters across solidly Democrat and conservative-leaning voter blocks. It's a lot to sift through. CAP Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald has been following these races, and she joins us now. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Vicky.
Okay, so before we get into the specifics of each race, let's just lay some groundwork, because both of these districts were redrawn by Prop 50. How much did they change?
Yeah, they changed pretty significantly. I mean, one more than the other. We can start with CD3, and it used to include parts of Placer County like Rockland, Roseville, and then went up to Lake Tahoe, and then all the way down the Eastern Sierra to Death Valley. So some pretty different regions, but all in all, like, more rural than it is now. After Prop 50, it still includes Tahoe, part of Rockland, part of Roseville, but extends westward, like you mentioned at the top, to include parts of Sacramento like Arden Arcade and Folsom, Rancho Cordova, and that made the district a lot bluer. And CD6, yes, it changed under Prop 50 as well, but less dramatically. It used to include these neighborhoods now in CD3 like Arden, North Sacramento, but now it has parts of Roseville, North Highlands, and Citrus Heights, and then wraps around the north side of the city over to West Sacramento.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of conversations with just friends, even coworkers, just trying to figure out what is our congressional district now.
Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of voters too, and I was just out there this morning in the Raley's parking lot talking to people, and a lot of people, they said the same thing. They said, which congressional race? I don't know which one I live in now, you know?
Yeah, it's new for a lot of people. So why was the old District 3 targeted for being redrawn, and what did the partisan split there look like?
Yeah. CD3, it was one of five congressional districts that were targeted under Prop 50. And it definitely leaned Republican. It was kind of a toss-up. But now with how it's been redrawn to include more parts of Sacramento, it's now very winnable for Democrats. Not just winnable, I would say it's like a safe Democratic seat now that these more, you know, these suburbs and parts of Sacramento are included that really tilted the balance blue.
Well, and both of these races, both CD6 and CD3, they were defined as viable options where now independent Congressman Kevin Kiley could run. How has he been narrowing down his choices since Prop 50 split up his old district?
Yeah, I know he was deciding on this for a while, and I talked to him, you know, back, you know, when Prop 50 passed, and ultimately I can't speak to his decision making when it came down to where to run, but he did land on CD6, and it still leans more Democratic, so he definitely still has an uphill battle, even though his home district, CD3, was redrawn, but, you know, I think he had to have been looking at, like, okay, which one do I have the best possible chance in as a former Republican? And then also, it's my understanding, and folks I've been talking to that were behind the redistricting plan, involved in the maps, that sort of thing, they actually thought Democratic Congressman Ami Bera would run for re-election in the 6th district, even under the new lines. But he actually landed on the 3rd district instead, which makes, like, this race in CD6 more of, like, an unknown.
Yeah. I mean, you have candidates like hopping over from one district to the next, and then that actually shapes who the challenges are.
Totally.
As well.
And it shapes who has incumbent advantage, right? So, like, if Bera had run in CD6, he would have that incumbent advantage. And now Kylie kind of has more of a name rec in this new district, and they're different parties, and it's interesting.
Yeah, that is so interesting. So, looking at Kylie's former district, one of the major candidates running for this seat is Democratic Congressman Tommy Barrett, you just mentioned him, represented the old 6th district. So in the end, why did he switch?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, like I said, a lot of political insiders were surprised when Barrett decided to run for the 3rd district instead. I mean, this new 3rd district, it actually does overlap quite a bit with his current district. There are areas like Rancho Cordova, Arden Arcade, Carmichael, Fair Oaks. So it's not like he's running for an entirely different district. Like, there are a lot of people in this region that really support him and have been served by him, you know, for the over a decade in Congress. But when it comes to communities like Lake Tahoe, parts of Placer County, that would be entirely new for him. And I have to imagine that's all new territory that he's had to cover as he's been campaigning in this new district.
Well, since he's not a stranger to Congress, what has his reputation been like in office?
Yeah, his reputation, I mean, he's really become part of like Sacramento's, you know, political furnishings of like the names that we have around here in the Sacramento region. I mean, he took office back in 2013. I'd describe him, I think, fairly as a moderate Democrat. He sits on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, but he told me in a recent interview that his main accomplishment has really been helping constituents navigate the bureaucratic morass of governmental agencies, you know, to access benefits and resolve problems and get cases solved. And that he's also a former doctor. You know, this is the first political office he's ever run for. But, you know, yeah, he's definitely more on the moderate side. And when you judge who is what somebody's accomplishments are in Congress, it's kind of hard to quantify sometimes, right? Like, you can serve in Congress for over 20 years and never have a bill get passed. So, and that's very common.
Yeah, I remember early on with Congressman Barra when it came to his elections. I mean, they were often like neck and neck when it came to challengers. Obviously, these districts have changed. So when it comes to the Democrats running against him this go around, who are they?
Yeah, so you have Nevada County Supervisor Heidi Hall, and her campaign, she's really been focused on being a voice for rural communities in California. She lives in the Sierra foothills up, I think, in Grass Valley, and she's really positioned herself as an environmental advocate who's really well versed on like land and water issues, which is a really big thing in the Sierra foothills and Lake Tahoe region. Then you also have like a political organizer. He's also a veteran, Chris Bennett. He's a more progressive and younger candidate, kind of trying to present himself as a more left option when it comes to courting Democrats. His platform includes priorities like Medicare for all and a federal jobs guarantee. And then you also have a radio host, Lyndon, who goes by Pacey Cervantes. And so, yeah, radio host turned congressional candidate. And his platform is also on the more progressive side, pushing for, you know, things like more affordable health care, taxing billionaires, that sort of thing.
OK, so that's more left leaning. What about the Republican candidates?
Yeah, and there'll be a few familiar names here. I mean, there's businesswoman and financial investigator Christine Biesch. She previously ran for CD6 against Ami Barra. She was going to run for the new CD6, but switched after Kevin Kiley re-registered as an independent. And that kind of, you know, switch things up. You know, I think she also sees this race as another opportunity to challenge Barra as he tries to campaign in a new district with all this new territory that wasn't in his former district. And then you also have Nevada County Supervisor Rob Tucker. He's another Republican candidate coming from a more rural part of this district and says, you know, protecting rural life and public safety are some of the things among his priorities. And then Laura Koski, she's technically filed as a Republican candidate, but she doesn't seem to actively be campaigning, but her name will also appear on the ballot.
I mean, just looking at the map of this district, I mean, it's pretty like diverse. I mean, you're going from, of course, like the city of Sacramento, but going up to higher elevations. You mentioned Grass Valley to El Dorado County to Truckee, the Tahoe area. I mean, what is the chance that a Republican could hold on to the new CD3? I know you mentioned that it is Democrat leaning, but there are a lot of rural communities and conservative leaning communities as well.
It's very true. I mean, this is the Democratic-led redistricting plan did it with the best possible chance of flipping these 5 districts, right? So they've done this in a way where it is going to be very difficult, realistically, for a Republican to hold the seat. And also remember, yes, parts of Tahoe and in that region, Grass Valley, are more rural, but they also are little blue dots in, you know, a surrounding red area. So I do think Republicans have an uphill battle when it comes to this district.
So that's Congressional District 3. Let's move over to 6. This is a new open open seat. There's a crowded field of Democrats trying to secure that nomination. Some are familiar names. So who are the big names and the leading candidates among Democrats?
Yeah, like you said, some are definitely going to be familiar names for our listeners who have been living in Sacramento and involved in politics here. But you have former State Senator Richard Pan, Sacramento County DA Ten Ho, West Sacramento Mayor Martha Guerrero, Planned Parenthood Marmonte official Lauren Babb Tomlinson, and veteran Tyler Vandenberg.
Okay, so how are they trying to differentiate themselves?
Yeah, I mean, it is very crowded, and it's a lot of Democrats fighting against each other. This district, it leans Democratic as well. It might not be as Democratic as CD3, but it seems like the main question is going to be who's going to take on Kylie in the general. I mean, you have Richard Pan. He used to represent part of Sacramento in the state Senate. He has really strong name recognition in these communities. And then so does Ten Ho as the county's DA. I mean, in a recent poll I saw, they seem to be leading the pack of Democrats. And Kylie seems to be, he seems to have the most consolidated support. But mm-hmm. a big part of that is because there's so many Democrats running and they've kind of split the support among themselves.
Yeah. And he actually is a congressman currently. He did change his party registration from Republican to independent. But does he have any advantage in this new district? I mean, he is an incumbent.
I mean, yeah, I certainly think he has the benefit of name recognition. He's well known in Placer County and surrounding areas. I think a lot of voters know him as a Republican, too. So it's very likely he could still pick up Republican voters, even though he's technically changed his party affiliation.
Are there any Republican candidates?
Yeah, there is. So Michael Stansfield is a Republican running who, you know, he's kind of said his platform is wanting to be a Republican who upholds the Constitution. He's kind of said in the past in different candidate forums that it seems like constitutional lines are currently, you know, being crossed in federal politics. The thing that's interesting to me here is with Stansfield running as a Republican, and then you also have Kylie running as an independent, but people know him as a Republican. I kind of wonder how support among who are Republican folks going to be voting for? That's going to be interesting to see how that support is divvied up.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the reason why this district was drawn the way it was drawn is to give Democrats an advantage. So even though Kylie is a recognizable name already in Congress, it's not necessarily in the bag for him.
No, definitely not. I mean, he still faces a very tough chances of re-election. I think you've kind of seen that. Like, I mean, he's changed his party affiliation, and I know we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's definitely still going to be. I mean, this wasn't one of the districts targeted by Prop 50, but it changed nevertheless to accommodate the changes they wanted to see in CD3. They had to take those blue voters from somewhere to put them into CD3. And so, you know, I think because of that now, it really, I mean, who knows? It's a brand new district.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald about the races for California's 3rd and 6th congressional districts. Okay, so let's get into Kylie re-registering as no party preference independent ahead of the primary. Just remind us, what was his reasoning behind this?
Yeah. Well, I haven't talked to him since he made the switch. But in an interview he did with NPR, actually, Kylie said that becoming an independent was actually just reflective of how he wanted and saw the job of being in Congress, and that he wasn't necessarily changing any of his policy positions just because the letter next to his name would change. And he even said he would continue to caucus with Republicans through the rest of his term because administratively you have to, you know, still pick a party to caucus mm-hmm. with. You know, he also said there's too much partisanship in Washington. And at times he has, you know, been critical of his Republican colleagues. Like last year during the government shutdown, he was really critical of Republican leadership for that.
Yeah, and he still showed up to work, right? He was like the loneliest Republican in Congress.
He
remember
did.
Like a headline saying that. So how has this shift in party affiliation or lack thereof had an impact on his electability?
Yeah. I've been following Kylie for a while since, you know, he was back in the state legislature here in Sacramento. And what I've noticed is that in the months leading up to California's redistricting effort, he really toned down his rhetoric and was at times like critical of the Trump administration and his Republican colleagues in Congress, like I just mentioned. He really opposed, you know, the redistricting, not just here in California, but also the GOP-led redistricting effort in Texas, and really tried to take a moral stand on the issue. And of course, you know, some saw this as a convenient position to take because he was facing the possibility of being out of a job, but he has shown that he hasn't been afraid to kind of stand up to members of his own party for things that, you know, for what he thinks is right and wrong. But I do think you have to think that this party transition is part of his political calculus to have the best possible chance of staying in Congress.
Before we let you go, Laura, you've also been looking at some of the candidates challenging the status quo, establishment Congress members, maybe taking more of a progressive line during the midterms. What has stood out to you? What have you learned along the way?
Yeah, it is really interesting to kind of see like this shakeup with Prop 50, and you have these new districts and you have a lot of new names, a lot of familiar ones too. So it's kind of wide open in a way that it hasn't been in years past. And that's really interesting to me. I think also, like, I am noticing that there's this trend of like younger Democrats who are more left leaning saying, we're going to challenge these members of Congress that have been doing it in some case for decades. It takes a lot to do that. And I think that we're seeing that not just here in all of our congressional races in the Sacramento region, but also in places all over the state. So that's something I'm definitely interested in seeing how those candidates perform in this primary election.
As always, Laura, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
That is Cap Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald breaking down the races for California's 3rd and 6th congressional districts. Up next, lobbying has long been intertwined with politics as a way to influence lawmakers, and it often happens behind closed doors. In California, two bills meant to increase transparency in this practice hit dead ends. We'll learn why these proposals never received a hearing at the state capitol. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.